How's everybody doing today? It's good to see you. So glad that you're here. If you got a Bible, open up to John 16, verse 7. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll have verses on the screen. We're going to begin a short series today called His Presence. His Presence. And we'll, there we go, His Presence, the presence of God. How many of you are thankful for God's presence in your life? Aren't you thankful for it? The Bible teaches us that when Jesus came to earth, when he did his ministry here, when he lived here, flesh and blood, Bible tells us that Jesus was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. He was God and he was man all at the same time. He was God in the flesh, a body like you and me. Scripture said that his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. But I want to fast forward as Jesus began to draw closer to his death, his time on the cross. Jesus was preparing his closest followers, those who would carry his ministry forward, those who would become the church and the leaders of the church. He began to prepare them for his departure. And you begin to read this in John chapter 16, and I won't take time to read all the verses. But it says, when Jesus began to tell them, now look, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be going back to my Father. I'm going to leave you alone. That their hearts were heavy. They were perplexed. They were saddened because they didn't yet understand God's plan. But then you get down to verse 7, and here's what Jesus says to them. In the face of their worry and concern and their sadness about Jesus leaving, here's what he says, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. When he speaks of truth, he's talking about what is right, what is going to be, how God sees things. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. I want you to weigh those words for a moment. It is to your advantage that I go away. Have you ever stopped and thought, wow, wouldn't it have been great to live in the days when Jesus walked the earth, to see him and to see his miracles? You know, we want to watch the movies and we want to see Chosen and these different movies because we want to see what might it have been like when Jesus was here. But Jesus says, it is to your advantage that I go back to the Father. And it goes on to say this, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. When we begin to talk about God, we can only begin to describe who he is and what he is. He is infinite. We just can't wrap our minds around all that God is. I've heard theologians act like they've got all the answers about God. We've only begun to understand a little bit about the greatness of God. But here's the thing. God is what theologians call omnipresent. God is everywhere. God is everywhere at the same time. There are other churches in the valley and across the nation and around the world gathering today to worship God. And can I tell you something? God is in all those places at the same time. The psalmist said, if I go to heaven and ascend to the heavens, he's there. If I'm down in the pits of hell fighting battles, he's there too. He's just everywhere. That's his nature. But the question is, how does he do that? How is it that God is everywhere at once? Well, Jesus said God is a spirit. He is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We tend to only think about God as some physical guy sitting up there on the throne. Jesus said God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And let me take it one step further to set this up today. This Sunday morning, just like every other Sunday morning around here, when we gather to worship, we sense God's presence in the building. I just sensed a few minutes ago when we were singing that, so I lift up my hands and I sing it again and again, praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I'm grateful for your goodness. We sense the presence of God because God promised to inhabit our praises. But that presence that we sense in the building, That is his spirit. That is God's spirit. And it's what Scripture calls the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, the nature, the Spirit of God showing up among us. But you know, I've learned through the years, there's a lack of knowledge in the church world about the Holy Spirit, about God's presence, what Scripture calls the Holy Spirit, what He comes to do in our lives, what the Bible says, what Jesus taught about God's presence and God's Spirit. Let me illustrate this to you. Several months ago, I was talking with somebody, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and this person said to me, I was in a church, and they called the name of the church, very well-known, great church here in Southern California. This person said, I was there for 25 years, and I never, ever heard one teaching about the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said to his followers, it's to your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I will send you God's presence, God's Spirit, to be with you in this life. So we need to have some scriptural understanding about the Holy Spirit. So today, I want to start with this work of the Holy Spirit, God's presence. And you might say, okay, well, why is the Holy Spirit? Or how is the Holy Spirit? How is God's presence important to me? Today, we're going to talk about the first aspect. The Holy Spirit, He's come to work for us. He's come to work for us. So let's dive into this today. I'm going to share three main thoughts in the next few minutes. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. How many of you like a bargain? Come on, one, two. How many of you like a bargain? How many of you would rather pay half price? Well, for the rest of you, that's why you're broke, okay? Because you like paying full price. I will take the bargain anytime, okay? I'll take the free shipping on Amazon Prime, all right? Give it to me. I like a bargain. I'm going to give you a bargain this morning. I'm going to do an hour and a half of teaching in the next 25 minutes, okay? So it's going to be really good. So I'm going to move fast. So three main thoughts today. Number one, God's presence comes to draw us to a place of faith in God. The first thing God's Spirit does in our life is He begins to draw us to a place of faith. How does He do that? Jesus promised that His Spirit would convict or convince us of three specific things which are foundational to our relationship with God. And I'm going to show you what Jesus said. John 16, verse 8. Jesus says, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, He says more, but I don't have time to read all of it and get into a great deal of detail today. But I want to show you these three things that He says here. Number one, He convinces us. To convict means to convince us. If you're sitting on a jury, you hear all the evidence, and then you are convinced that person is guilty or not guilty. So He convicts us. He convinces us of three things. Number one, He convinces us that we are sinners and we're lost in our sin. Now, don't get embarrassed, okay? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Front row, especially Pastor Corey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Top row, I can't see exactly who's sitting up there. All of us have sinned. From the front row to the top row, all of us have sinned and missed the mark in our lifetimes. Sometimes it was our fallen nature that was weak. Sometimes it was our rebellion against God. But all of us have sinned. The Spirit of God comes to us and first of all convinces us we've sinned, we've rebelled against God, and we're lost in our sin. But then the second thing He does is He convinces us, Scripture says, of righteousness, of a right way to move forward once we realize we're lost in sin. It says He convicts us, He convinces us of righteousness. Simply means He convinces us that God had a righteous Savior who could get us out of this place of being lost in our sin. He convinces us that Jesus was the righteous Son of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he comes to me and says, Gary, you are a sinner. You are lost in your sin. That's why you don't know God. That's why you're separated from God. And I realize, oh my goodness, you're right. And then he begins to massage my heart, and I begin to hear the message and the teaching, and I realize God sent his son to pay for my sins. He hung him up on a cross, raised him from the dead because he accepted his sacrifice, and then now he extends that to me and says, my son was righteous, but he paid your price. Now I offer forgiveness to you. He convinces me that is truth. Now, let me pause just a minute. Everybody say pause. Pause here for a moment. See, you sit in a service like this and you hear this message, and what happens is the Spirit of God begins to knock on your heart and say, I'm giving you some truth. You need to hear this today. You need to respond to it. But I have a decision to make. Am I going to receive God's truth and welcome the work of God's presence? Or am I going to push him away and say, let's talk about this later? Maybe when I get old. Well, I'm not convinced yet. That's fine. But the Spirit of God comes to convince us of these truths. But then let's fast forward a little bit more. We begin to understand that Jesus is the only righteous Savior who can forgive us of our sins, who's paid the price. He's the only hope for forgiveness. And Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we will be saved from our sins. He convinces us of that. So we do that. And then the next thing, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, for God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And here's what happens. He convinces us. Jesus was righteous. And when you accept the sacrifice he made on the cross for your sins and you trust him, suddenly God declares that you are righteous and he takes away all of our sins. He convinces us of his righteousness and then our righteousness. And that word righteousness, you know, we don't really use it outside of church settings very much. But in the original writings, the word righteous means to be right, to be in right standing with God. Our right standing justifies us. It makes us know in the sight of God, it's just as if we've never sinned, and now suddenly we have peace with God. We don't run from him in fear. We begin to draw near to God. Not only that, our right standing qualifies us to become the sons and the daughters of God. We're not just believers, we are family. Jesus is our oldest brother. God is our Father. And we come to him with full assurance, knowing that he accepts us just as we are. And then the last part of this is, being in right standing with God removes the fear of God. I don't run from him anymore. I now run to him. But then the last part of this is he comes and he convinces us of the word judgment. You see, when we come to Christ and he convinces us we're sinners, he convinces us that we need a Savior and Jesus is our Savior, then the last thing that happens is suddenly everything begins to get clear and we understand that Satan, the enemy, gets exposed. That Jesus has overcome him. And judgment falls on him. And we begin to realize that all the things in our past that kept us away from God, all those things that he had led us into, that Satan had led us into, suddenly we're free from those things. We don't have to live in the bondage of the old life. We don't have to live under the power of sin because Jesus has liberated us from that. And we walk away from it and we turn and we follow Jesus because he's now our Savior. And we want him to become the Lord of our lives. So that's the first work of God's Spirit in our lives. Now, some of you have never been taught this, but I got to say it this morning. When you accept Christ and you put your trust in him, the Spirit of God has done all of that. He's convinced you. So now you are free from the old life. It's time to start walking out the new life. So then we come to the second part of this message. The Spirit of God, the presence of God, now lives in us. Now, I'm not going to stay on this point long because I've got other things to say. But I cannot stress this enough, and I hope everybody gets this today. Once the work of the cross is accepted in our lives, God has got too much invested in us to give up on us and leave us alone. See, the blood of Christ is so valuable that once it's applied to our lives and our sins are forgiven and God makes us his children, he's not going to leave us alone and walk away from us. So what does he do? He takes up residence in us. How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Come on, let me see your hands. Okay, put your hands down. Did you know God's presence now lives in you? Somebody said, well, this teaching is so simple. But it's so profound if you don't yet know it and understand it. See, that's my responsibility, to help people get started walking with God. And this is one of the first things. When we are convinced, the next thing we need to know is, when I get out of the bed in the morning, he's living in me. When I go to my work day, he's living in me. When I come home in the evening and work and eat dinner and have to wrestle with children and grandchildren, he's still living in me. When I go to bed at night, he's still living in me. And when I get up the next morning for the next day, he's still living in me. Because that's what has been accomplished in my life. Jesus is not just with us. He said, my spirit will be in you. So where is God's presence? See, sometimes we get confused because we come to church on Sunday morning. Wow, we can sense the presence of God. I love to come into this place because when we start worshiping, we can sense the presence of God. And then Monday through Saturday, well, where is God's presence? He's in you. But you need to be aware of that. He is in you. He lives here. He lives here. Everybody, come on, everybody, do this. He lives here. He's not a visitor. He lives here all the time. He abides, and he's not going anyplace. He's come to stay and live within me. And once I've accepted that into my life, then what happens is I don't want to go back to the old life. I turn. The word is repentance. I turn and I say, I don't want to go back to that bondage. I want to be free and enjoy all this good life that Jesus has brought to me. Because he lives in me. He lives in me. Now, Jesus calls this a new birth. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again, born of the Spirit. The Spirit makes us alive to Christ, and he moves inside and he lives in us. The theological term is regeneration. He's made us alive. But then the last part of my message, the third point. The Spirit who brings us into relationship with God and the Spirit who lives in us has come to help us. He's come to help us. Depending on your church background, you may have been taught that the Spirit of God has come to beat you up, tell you how bad you are or how horrible you are. That's not his job. You already know that. When you come to Christ, you know all those things. He's come to convince you of your new standing with God. He's come to help you, not to hurt you. He's come to lift you up, not to put you down. He's come to encourage you to keep going forward, not go backward. But we got to get beyond this thing of, well, if I can just get to church again, I can sense God's presence. He's here every day. You just need to make yourself aware of his presence. This is good. This is good. So now, I want you to look at John 14, verse 16, because I really want to drive this home. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Did you know when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, he moves inside of your life? Did you know that God puts him there to help you? Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. I'll be in you through God's presence, through his Spirit. And I'll be the first to get in line, and I'm going to tell you this. Every day of my life, I need God's help. Some days more than others. But every day of my life, I need God's help. And one of the things I've learned is, in life, when I'm needing God's help, I get alone with God and I say, help. Let me say it this way. The helper has moved inside. So therefore, help is here. Help is here. He's come to help you with this new life. He's come to bring what you do not have in your own ability. So what's this helper going to do? I could talk about a lot of things, but I want to narrow it down to some real clear scripture and finish my message. What does the helper come to do? One thing is, he helps us learn the ways of this new life in Jesus. He helps us understand and learn the ways of this new life in Jesus. Isn't it interesting that repentance means to turn from an old life and then turn to a new life? But a lot of times we've not been taught that when we start this journey, God's Spirit is going to be here to help us. So what happens? We try to do it on our own. We make rules and regulations. Well, I did pretty good this week. Well, I didn't do so good this week. Well, I got all these problems this week. It's going to be a bad week. When you understand the helper's here, no matter what you're facing in life, you realize I can deal with this because the helper's here to help me through this. So he begins to help you understand this is the way of the new life. Jesus said when he comes, he will testify of me, which means he will tell you this is what Jesus would do. Now, if you want to wear the bracelet WWJD, that's fine. If that helps you remember, that's great. But you know, we say, well, what would Jesus do? Ask the helper. He'll show you. See, there are some prayers that we can pray that God answers right now, and this is one of them. God, what do I do with this situation? I'm confused. You pray that prayer, and the Spirit of God will show you this is what you need to do. Now, it may not be what you want to hear, but he will show you what you need to do. Because he's come to show us, teach us, the ways of the new life in Jesus. But then he's also come to teach us how to live out the truth of God's word. Now, I'm going to spend just a moment here plugging something that's really important. We haven't talked about this every Sunday because we've got a lot of things to talk about. But we've got our church on a Bible reading plan. We're reading the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs this year. Get a copy of it. Download it online. Take a picture of it. Put it in your phone. Stay up to read it. Here's the thing. We tell you over and over again, you know what? You need to be learning God's Word. Start in the New Testament. Start in the Gospels. Let it expand from there. But learn about who Jesus was, what he wants to do in our lives, and then start learning his ways. Because here's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God that lives in us takes the truth of the Word and then throws it up in front of us. And when we've got questions, he says, here's the answer right here. Where are the answers to walking with God? They're right here. He didn't leave us clueless. He didn't leave us without a manual of how to do life. Have you ever bought something and it didn't come with instructions? No, let me ask it this way. How many men are in the house? Have you ever bought something and didn't read the instructions? That's a little more clear, isn't it? That's right. And you've got to do it all over again. Or you get to the end and you got four parts left over and you wonder, what I do with these parts? See, some of us do Christianity that way. We come to Christ, we pray the magic prayer, and we think, okay, well, I'll see you when I die. That's not God's plan for our lives. His Spirit comes to live in us, to walk us into his blessing day after day after day. But if we're ignorant of his ways, it causes us to get off path and we miss some of his blessings. Well, that's legalism. No, it's not. It's truth. It's truth. This is good. This is so good. He's a helper. He comes to teach us the ways of God, and then he helps us remember what the Word says about our situation. Let me ask this question. Has anybody recently had a day that was really a tough day, and you're like, oh God, what am I going to do? You know what happens? When you pray that day, you say, God, this is really a tough day. I need your help. First thing he does is you sense the presence of God just kind of comfort you. His comfort means, I'm going to get you through this. It's not, oh, well, here, I'll give you a little bit of a good thrill so you can feel this, but you're on your own the rest of the way. That's not the point. He's here to help through what you're dealing with. But what he will do is, if you know the Word of God, he will reach back into the Word and he will help you remember a promise that applies to your situation right then. And all of a sudden, you realize, oh, so some of the work of the Spirit of God is to bring God's promises into my life. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, in John chapter 14, Jesus said the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He's not going to lead you in a wrong way. He will only lead you to the right places and in the right path God has for you. And then when you're struggling, he brings back to your mind and your heart the remembrance of his word, which will strengthen you further. And you realize, well, God said it, I believe it, I'm going to keep following him. That's a part of the work of the Holy Spirit. And then not only that, then he guides us, he leads us in the right paths and the right direction. If you're like me, there are a lot of days leading a church, leading a family, making decisions for the future. There are a lot of days when I'm saying, God, I need you to lead me forward from here. I need you to show me what to do. And you know what I found? I found when you pray that kind of prayer, the Spirit of God shows up and begins to direct your pathways. He begins to drop in your heart, yes, this is the direction that I need to go. Jesus said in John 16, 13, that the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. Remember what I said earlier? Truth is the right way. Truth is what is right in the sight of God. He won't lead you to the wrong places. He only leads you to the right places where you need to be going to find his blessing. Because that's the work of the Spirit. It's interesting, Romans 8 talks about the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. He reminds us we're the children of God. You know, from time to time, you might be driving down the road, you might be at home working on something, you might be at work, and all of a sudden you just sense something warm. You just sense the presence of God, and you think about God for a moment. You know what? That's God saying, I'm here with you. It's going to be okay. I've got you. I've got you. That's what the Spirit has come to do. He's come to help us. So in closing my message today, knowing what we've talked about this morning, I need to learn to be aware of his presence. Can I get a bobblehead? I need to learn to be aware of his presence, and I need to learn to welcome his presence. Everybody in this building from time to time has financial, material concerns. If somebody was on a street corner and had a big blaster blowing out $100 bills, you'd get in line. And you'd stay there as long as it was blowing out $100 bills. But I think sometimes God shows up in our lives and we ignore him and we don't understand. He's here to help us with the very thing that we're struggling with right now. Please hear me. I'm almost finished. The Spirit of God doesn't just live in you so God can get his way in your life. His Spirit lives in you to bless your life with the things that you need for this life and the things he's called you to. He's come to comfort you, to encourage you, to lead you in the right way. Can you imagine living, or imagine the Spirit of God living in us, but us never acknowledging him? Can you imagine living with a spouse and never acknowledging your spouse? And I'll hear about that when I get home, because sometimes I don't listen. Can you imagine? But it's amazing how many people never stop to realize he's living in me. I need to acknowledge his presence. Can you imagine having a family member coming to live in your home and you never ever talking to them? know, in a corporate worship service like this, we sense God's presence. And we're like, wow, wow, I just love the big presence of God. Well, can I tell you something? During the week, when you begin to worship Him, that same presence that lives in you will rise up and begin to bring into your life what you need from Him. If you'll just recognize Him, be aware of Him, and welcome His presence in your life. See, this thing of Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, it doesn't work, friend. Being a Christian on Sundays and making it the rest of your time, it doesn't work. Because we miss the point of God's presence in our lives. So we need to learn to be aware of His presence and welcome His presence. This big presence of God that we sense in His house, we need to welcome that same presence into our lives every single day. His voice, His Spirit just nudging our spirit and bearing witness. The same stirring that we sense on Sunday morning, it confirms that God's with us and He wants to help us with the challenges of life. But Paul gave us a warning two different places in Scripture. He said, be careful, because if we ignore His presence, we can grieve His presence. We can grieve Him. We can even quench. We can throw water on Him and say, quit working in my life. That's Paul's words. Can I tell you something? Every day of my life, I want to be aware of His presence, because He's come to help me. And I want to welcome Him to come and do what He desires to do. Very last thing. I have a dear friend, and we've become great friends the last several years. But a few years ago, we were just becoming good friends, and when you make friends, especially guys, you know, it's different for guys, I think, than it is for women as a rule. But you know, because we're tough and we're manly and we're eyeballing each other, trying to figure each other out. What are you trying to get from me? What's your intentions? Da da da. One day this friend of mine called me, a minister friend. He calls me up on the phone. We're talking. And the last thing he said, well, you know what? I just called because I just wanted to talk to you, man. I miss you. And he said this to me. He said, I wish we lived closer so we could hang out more. I think sometimes God says, I wish you'd realize I live in you so we can hang out more. Because I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to help you. I want you to do something with me. I want you to stand this morning very quietly. In just a moment, we're going to welcome God's presence. We're going to be aware of God's presence. But before we do that, bear with me because I need to do this first. It might be that you came to this place today and you've been trying to figure out this thing about Christianity. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about you got to do this and you got to do that. It's about Jesus coming into your life and living here and helping you walk the pathway God has for you. That's what it's about. But maybe you've never really opened your heart and said, God, I'm in. Maybe you're sitting here today and the Spirit of God is tugging on your heart and you know this is right. This is truth. And the Spirit of God saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to bring you into relationship with God. He needs you to say, yes, I'm in. I'm in. And welcome Him into your life. So I want to pray a prayer. And I want to ask you, everybody in the room, just pray this with me out loud, okay? It's not that you may not need to pray this prayer, but you might need to pray it for the person standing nearby you. But I want us all to just lift our voices. You don't have to yell, but let's pray this prayer together. Let's wrap our faith around these words. Pray this with me. Say, God, I need you. I open my heart to you. I know you've been convincing me. I believe you. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died for my sins. I accept that as full payment for my sin. I believe Jesus will be the Lord of my life and lead me to all the right places. So I open my heart to you. Please move into my life. Bring all of your help to me. And lead me in all the right places. Thank you, Father. From this moment forward, I'm your child. I'll learn your ways. I will follow you. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do today. Every one of us. I want us to take a moment. I don't care how you do it. You can lift your hands. You can not lift your hands. Right out loud, you may just want to pray and worship for a moment. We've got just a moment here. I want us to take 1 minute or 2 minutes, and I just want us to let the Spirit of God that lives in us know, I'm so glad you're here. And if I've been ignoring you, please forgive me, but I need your help in this life today. He's come to help us. Would you join me right now? Father, thank you. Thank you for what I've experienced in you. Thank you that I know you, that you're my Father and I'm your child. But God, I need you every single day of my life, so I welcome your presence. I honor your presence. I need you so much. I need you in my life. I need you to help me make right decisions and go in the right direction and stop moving the wrong direction. I need your wisdom for questions that I've got. Father, maybe today my heart's hurting for 100 different reasons, but I ask you to come and comfort me. Bring healing. Let your presence that's in me rise up right now and begin to give me a right perspective so I can turn loose of what's happened and move forward into the bright future you have for me. God, I welcome your presence. I want to know you. I want to recognize your voice. I want to learn who you are and what you have for me. I commit myself to reading your word and learning your word so you can lift up that word and show me how it fits in my life. So you can help me understand that your promises are there to meet my needs. Father, I thank you for your presence today. I need you. Say that with me. I need you. I need you. So rise up in me. I will respond to you today. Amen. Amen. Before we go today, and we are right on time, two things. Number one, if you prayed that prayer a few moments ago and first time you've ever prayed it and really committed your life to Christ, or maybe you've just been the prodigal on the run, here's the thing. We want to help you get started learning about God's presence in your life. We've got a little booklet. It's a tool called The Next 7 Days. We'd love to give it to you. When we finish here in just a moment, we'll have prayer teams at the front of the building. They're here to pray with anyone for any need. But if you just walk up to one of these prayer teams and say, can I get the booklet? They'll give it to you, no strings attached. We don't need anything from you. If you've got questions, they can answer questions. If you want prayer for something, they'll pray with you. We just want to help you get started walking with God and be aware of his presence in your life. If you're watching online, there's a link right there. You can get an electronic copy of this booklet. We simply want to help you get started walking with God. Can we put our hands together and welcome new believers into God's family? God bless you today. Very last thing. I've still got 1 minute. Very last thing. Part of our worship is giving to God. I want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. But we recognize you're not giving to me. You're not giving to us. You're not really giving to a church. You're giving to God. You're saying, thank you, Father, for your provision in my life. Our church is in a good place. We're going to be sharing the next couple of months things that we're going to be doing in the next year around the world with missions. I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We give to God because he's asked us to and because he's good to us. And then we see God's blessing in our lives, and we turn around, and it's just a cycle that goes on and on and on and on. So thank you today for your giving. There are different ways you can give. If you're giving a physical gift today, grab an envelope off the back of a seat. You can fill it out, drop it in one of the offering containers on the side walls as you leave the auditorium. There's also one out in the kids' check-in area. Hey, God bless you. I love you. Have a great, great Sunday, and live in his presence.